On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. When word got out last Tuesday that the Susan G. Komen Foundation would end its funding for Planned Parenthood, the response was deafening, the coverage nonstop, the online world in uproar. On Friday, the breast cancer giant reversed its decision. This is a world of human suffering and human compassion, of pink ribbons and big money and many views of what's right this hour on Point. What we learned from Komen's decision to cut off and then restore funding for Planned Parenthood. You can join the conversation. What have you learned here about the world of women's health? Are you still walking for the cure? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, and you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We will talk in this hour with Dr. Susan Love, a big figure in the world of breast cancer research and treatment, and with women across a range of perspectives on what happened last week. Joining me first today from Washington to look at what just happened and why is Sarah Cliff, health policy reporter for The Washington Post. Sarah, thank you very much for being with us.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Can you just walk us back from your reporting and explain what motivated the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Foundation to do this? And then I guess we all saw a lot of this, but where did the rubber really hit the road on walking them back to the reversal?
You know, it was hard to imagine, but it was a very busy 72 hours when all of this took place. And, you know, it started Tuesday afternoon that the AP broke the story that the Komen Foundation would no longer fund Planned Parenthood. The reason they gave at that point was because Planned Parenthood was under a congressional investigation here in Washington and that they had just adopted new rules that would bar them from funding any charity or any nonprofit under investigation. That's where we started Tuesday. By Wednesday, Thursday, the Komen Foundation was also saying that they wanted to fund more direct services such as mammograms, and Planned Parenthood, while referring folks to get a mammogram, doesn't provide them themselves. So the reason started changing a little bit as I was reporting the story. At the same time, Tom, I'm sure you saw there's a lot of social media activity, a lot of opposition showing up to the policy. By Friday morning, the decision was reversed. So that's kind of the past week. And, you know, the reason it's changed a little bit, the reason when Komen said they'd reverse the decision, they said they changed their policy only to apply to groups under criminal investigation. Since Planned Parenthood is under investigation by Congress, they could again be eligible to receive funds.
So the money is back on, and this is what, $700,000 or something that Planned Parenthood can use to get women to mammograms if their screening indicates that might be a good idea.
Well, we don't know for sure the money's been. That's actually one question that's still out there is Planned Parenthood is now eligible to apply for grants. One thing, you know, I'll be watching is whether they receive those grants. That kind of goes back to that second reason that the Komen Foundation had talked about wanting to fund mammograms rather than mammogram referrals. We'll be watching to see, even though Planned Parenthood is eligible, if they continue to receive grants in this coming year.
So more to watch there, maybe more shoes to drop. Sarah, all right, there's the timeline. I mean, that's what we saw happen, and there was a big uproar around it. But part the curtains for us a little bit, because this goes back well before last Tuesday. To the extent that you now know through your reporting, tell us what happened inside Susan G. Komen that led them to this decision. And they said, yes, they said this is about investigation. Then they said this is about direct versus indirect services. But everybody's looking at this and saying this is about abortion.
Right. And, you know, that's one thing I've been covering in this past week is what happened at Komen. How did they decide to make this decision? There's a lot of folks who are looking at the role that a woman named Karen Handel played. She was brought on about a year ago as the group's vice president for policy. And before that had run for governor of Georgia on a platform of defunding Planned Parenthood. And so it's not totally clear at this point what her role was in these decisions. But, you know, she was one person who, as vice president of public policy, obviously has a very active role in the decisions that Komen makes. What, you know, I and my colleagues here at the Washington Post do know is that in October, there was a board meeting of the Komen Foundation where the board, you know, voted on this investigations policy. They were aware that adopting this new policy would mean defunding Planned Parenthood, and they went ahead with it. And they, you know, didn't issue press releases. They thought the best strategy was, you know, keep quiet about it. As Planned Parenthood started finding out they weren't eligible for grants, it became pretty difficult to keep things quiet. So that's what we know about the backstory. And I'd imagine, you know, as I and other reporters keep looking at this, you're going to see a little more information about, you know, what exactly was happening.
Here was, this is Nancy Brinker, the CEO of Susan G. Komen, talking last week with MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell. About the hiring of that Karen Handel, who had been anti-abortion, and what role that might have played in the decision to cut funds from Planned Parenthood. And you'll hear straight up here the Komen CEO's denial that they're related.
The question is, for the bipartisan organization such as yours, which has a broad-based advisory group, why hire a key staff person who is so strongly, fiercely identified against Planned Parenthood, one of your grantees?
Well, let me just, for the record, tell you, Karen did not have anything to do with this decision. This was decided at the board level and also by our mission.
At the board level and by our mission, of course, there could be some parsing there. Karen not on the board, so the decision itself, I guess, made it at the board level. We heard last week the pushback here. This was mainly women who were outraged at Susan G. Komen getting moving away from Planned Parenthood. But describe for us, Sarah, there has been a lot of pressure the other way, too. Women who have walked for the cure, worn the pink, been in the walks and races, and did not want the association between Komen and Planned Parenthood.
Right. I think there's a lot of strong feelings on both sides of the issue. A number of groups that oppose abortion have been, you know, petitioning Komen for a long time now to cut its ties with Planned Parenthood. Some groups have it on a sort of watch list saying don't support Komen because they support Parenthood. And that's been going on for a while now. When they did sever ties this week, you saw, like you said, you know, this big backlash against it. You know, Planned Parenthood raised about $3 million from 10,000 online donors over the past 3 days, mostly, you know, from the folks I've been talking to, people who wanted to show their support for Planned Parenthood over the Komen Foundation and this kind of controversy. So you've really seen it from both sides. You know, I've been talking to a lot of local Komen affiliates, and they've just been inundated with, you know, reaction. The general reaction I've heard about in my own reporting that, you know, they've gotten locally has been against the decision. So I've heard more about reaction against this, just the original decision to defund Planned Parenthood. But there definitely is, you know, a very strong movement on the other side to continue that wanted to see Komen hold strong on this. And, you know, we'll see how they react now that they decided to reverse that decision.
You could hear that tension last week. Here's an episode from Thursday of The View. Here's Joy Behar sparring with Elizabeth Hasselbeck. You hear Barbara Walters and Whoopi Goldberg also in here over the politicization, as they're calling it here, at least on some of them, of Komen's decision to cut funding from Planned Parenthood.
The president and the CEO and the vice president of Komen are both Republicans, too. Which,
well, Joy,
like to say they're not political, but hello.
Let me ask you this then. If it was political, and if Susan G. Komen would never be associated with someone because they are the nation's largest provider of abortions, then why would they have ever partnered with them over the years and years and years?
It is, darling. It really is.
Sarah Cliff with The Washington Post. Now, there's that characterization of Planned Parenthood as the nation's largest abortion provider. Is that true?
It is true. They are the nation's largest abortion providers. Last year, they performed about 320,000 abortions.
And given that, and that that's not Komen's business. Komen's business is about breast cancer. Do you know when they got into this in the first place, what, a half a dozen years ago now, supporting Planned Parenthood? Was it an issue for them then, or how did this become an issue? Why wasn't it an issue at the beginning if it is now? Do you see what I mean?
Right, definitely. You know, it was around early 2000s is when, and keep in mind, this is a relatively small amount of money. We're talking about $700,000.
Out of billions that they've raised.
Right. Well, Komen spends about $93 million annually on grants. So we're looking at maybe about 1% of their grants. And, you know, what they're funding is not abortions. They tend to fund breast screenings, referrals to mammograms, breast cancer education.
It's important for low-income women who might not be screened otherwise, though.
that's the case that Planned Parenthood has made. And, you know, especially some of these Planned Parenthood affiliates that are in rural areas. You know, I was talking to one Komen affiliate in Aspen who said, you know, if we can't fund Planned Parenthood, there's really no one else for us to fund. There's nowhere for women to get these services. You know, it has been a debate for the past year here in Washington whether or not giving federal funding to Planned Parenthood for contraceptives, for family planning services, and now with Komen giving grants for them for breast screening, does that count as supporting abortion? And there's been a very vocal movement, you know, among Republicans saying, yes, it does. Democrats pushing back saying, no, this is family planning and this is separate. But that's, you know, a very active debate. And I don't think it's going away, you know, with the reversal of this decision.
Sarah, you've written a lot about how the debate and fight over abortion has gone from sort of top level, high concept to really sort of state by state, even community by community, sort of trench warfare. Is what we saw last week part of that? Anti-abortion forces, you know, looking for one more place to push back against something they just don't want.
Right. Yeah. I've been writing about these issues for about 5 years now. And 2011 was really this watershed year. States passed 92 restrictions on abortion services, which is the most we've seen since the 1980s. It really was triple what we've seen any other year in recent memory. And, you know, one of the things that's shifted in the discussion is, you know, an expansion on restricting funding for those who provide abortions and provide other services like birth control. 9 states have passed laws this year that block abortion providers from receiving family planning funds, funds for contraceptives, and other services. And that's really a new law this year.
And suddenly we've got women's health in the form of breast cancer right in the middle of that. And boy, did that royal emotions last week. Sarah Cliff with The Washington Post covering health policy there. Please stand by with us in Washington. We're going to hear from Dr. Susan Love in this hour. When we come back, voices pro and con on the debate last week. You can join us. What just happened here? Were you taken aback at the big blow up last week? Which side were you on? Do you want to be on a side when it comes to women's health? 800-423-8255 is our number. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. And we're talking this hour about the Susan G. Komen / Planned Parenthood blow up and maybe resolution. Breast cancer, family planning, abortion, all on the table here in the war over women's health and different perspectives on it. Sarah Cliff is with us from The Washington Post. She covers health policy there. Everybody saw what was going on last week. You can join the conversation. Which side were you on? Do you want to be on a side when it comes to women's health? When did mammograms become political? Or can we be shocked that abortion is political? Has your understanding of this women's health world changed in the last week? How? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Will you be as pink as ever, walking like always, finding new paths? 800-423-TALK. Here was Cecil Richards. This is with the Planned Parenthood in an interview with CNN's Soledad O'Brien, the head of Planned Parenthood, before the Susan G. Komen Foundation reversed its decision.
We can't put politics ahead of women's health care access. And we've had, you know, we see 1 in 5 women in America have been to Planned Parenthood. I feel like in the last 24, 48 hours, I've heard from every single one of them, women who are standing for women.
Women who are standing for women. There's the Planned Parenthood view. Susan G. Komen cutting it a little finer. Here's their CEO, Nancy Brinker, speaking in a video posted on the foundation's website about the decision earlier to cut Planned Parenthood funds.
We will never bow to political pressure. We will always stand firm in our goal to end breast cancer forever. We will never turn our backs on the women who need us the most. We do this because this is our promise. We don't just talk about this promise. We live it every day, every single day. And the scurrilous accusations being hurled at this organization are profoundly hurtful to so many of us who've put our heart, soul, and lives into this organization. But more importantly, they are a dangerous distraction from the work that still remains to be done in ridding the world of breast cancer.
Well, maybe that was a giant distraction, but then where did it come from? Lots of response for us online here. Lori says, I'm a 2-time, 3-day walker. That's for Komen. And I have many fond memories of my experiences. However, I don't feel I can support Susan G. Komen at this point, barring a major shakeup in leadership. We'll talk about that. On the other hand, Emily writes, it disturbs me that one organization has so much power. When Planned Parenthood says jump, the entire political and medical establishment falls over each other to obey. Kind of an opposite perspective there.
Susan Cliff in Washington, please stand by. Joining me right now from Washington is syndicated columnist Mona Charon. She had applauded the decision by the Komen Foundation to end funding for Planned Parenthood. Mona Charon, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
And with us from Denver, Colorado, is Leslie Durgan, Senior Vice President of Public Policy for Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. She's a breast cancer survivor. Leslie Durgan, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
Leslie, first to you, Komen has, do you see them as having reversed themselves here? Are you satisfied with the way this has all turned out or not?
I am. I do see that Komen reversed itself fairly dramatically. And as Sarah mentioned, it really is an opportunity to continue to apply for Planned Parenthood. There's no guarantee that local affiliates from Komen will continue their funding for Planned Parenthood, although I am confident in the Colorado area that our relationship with them will continue.
Mona Charon, you heard in the clip we played there, Nancy Brinker, CEO of Komen, saying, and this is before the reversal, so this was about their first move as it became public, that Komen would never bow to political pressure. Has Komen bowed one way or another, Mona, to political pressure here, or both?
Well, it certainly looks like Komen bowed both directions, unfortunately. You have to feel sorry for this organization. Look, they are trying to do good in the world. They are trying to help women fight a devastating disease, and they've done tremendous good in the world. But unfortunately, they've got involved in the abortion controversy when they first began to cooperate with Planned Parenthood. That was their initial intro into the contentious world of abortion politics, was by partnering with Planned Parenthood in the first place. So I think they were trying to step away. They were sort of quietly trying to tiptoe out of that partnership. And Planned Parenthood, which knows how the levers are pulled in American life and in politics and in public policy, and very, very sophisticated operation, just went into high gear and ginned up the outrage. And, their people let it be known that this was they were not going to take this quietly and that they considered it a terrible affront. And then Komen did cave to the pressure. But I sympathize with their initial desire to step back from the politics of abortion and focus more directly and more exclusively on their main mission, which is breast cancer.
Well, point taken there, Mona, but in fairness, I mean, Komen is no slouch when it comes to being very sophisticated. They know how to pull levers at a very grand scale as well.
Could you?
No, well, maybe not. But what about, Planned Parenthood does bring medical care and screening to people who might not get it otherwise. I mean, there are not, can't you sympathize with Komen wanting to get into, let's say, low-income, underserved populations in a way that Planned Parenthood does, and get women directed to screening if it looks like they need it? Is everything obviated by Planned Parenthood's work also on abortion services?
Well, for some of us, the work of Planned Parenthood, just being the world's largest dispenser of abortions, does make it morally questionable, and really, would rather not have that association. Like, I used to be a contributor to the Susan B. Komen Foundation until I learned that they were partnering with Planned Parenthood, at which point I didn't want my dollars to be even indirectly going to support abortion, and so I decided not to give to Komen and not to participate. There are probably a lot of women who feel as I do. It is very, very important. Also, I think I take the Komen executives at their word that they were persuaded, at least initially, and now, of course, they've backtracked, but at least their explanation was that because Planned Parenthood doesn't do mammograms, it just refers for mammograms, and because most of Planned Parenthood's clientele is young women, not the major population that gets breast cancer, that their dollars could probably have been better dispensed to give to other kinds of clinics that more directly meet the needs of women who are most at risk of breast cancer.
Leslie Durgan, with Planned Parenthood, how important is Komen's funding to Planned Parenthood? And what about women who were listening last week, who are listening right now, and not just women, obviously, who may have concerns about abortion or just very forthrightly oppose it? How should they think about Planned Parenthood's work across the whole spectrum of family planning with that element right in it there?
Tom, 3% of the business that Planned Parenthood provides is related to abortion. 97% of the services that Planned Parenthood provides across the country is reproductive health, breast health, cancer screening, sexually transmitted disease and infection detection and treatment, and comprehensive sex education. It has nothing to do with abortion. Furthermore,
but yet abortion is in there. I mean, you're not denying that. It's just a fact. It's why it's a hot issue, right? I mean, it's
absolutely
it's why it's difficult.
Yeah.
So
yeah. No, I understand. I mean, if people are talking about abortion politics, I understand that people on both sides of the abortion debate have very strong feelings. I live it every day. I certainly understand it. But I think it's important to talk about the people who are served by Komen through Planned Parenthood. In our area, 84% of our patients have no insurance at all. 62% of them are below the federal poverty guidelines. We're not talking about women who are used to going to a hospital radiology center, who are used to going to a place that has a mammogram machine and walk in and say, I have no insurance and I would like to get a mammogram. Planned Parenthood plays a very important role in doing those clinical breast exams, screening, and referring people who have suspicious breast exams for the follow-up treatment, if it's mammograms, if it's biopsy. To say we want to fund people who have their own mammogram machines means we want to fund organizations that don't serve the very low income, and that's the role that Planned Parenthood does.
How do you think, Leslie, this is going to play out now that it's also out in the open? I mean, in a way, for a lot of people, I assume, who walked in the pink walks, Walk for the Cure, some of them were tuned into this. Many, many, no doubt, were not. You could say it was ignored. You can say it was papered over. But now that it's all out there in public, how do you think women are going to think? Because women, of course, have all kinds of positions on almost every issue we're touching here, except the fundamental value of life and trying to get something in the way of a cure for cancer here. How's this going to sort out? Do we have a permanent fissure in women's health world now, Leslie? Was it already there?
Tom, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the last part of your question.
Do we have a permanent divide in the world of women's health? I mean, it seemed like a kind of a sanctuary from this debate, and now it seems it's been brought right into the middle of it.
Oh, I don't know that there'll be a permanent divide there. Of course, there'll be people on all sides of the issue. Some will continue to march with Komen and give funding. Others will say they won't. And I'm sure Komen's getting calls from people saying we will, and we're getting lots of calls from people who say I won't participate anymore in the Komen Race for the Cure. My hope is that two very, very good national organizations dedicated to women's health will find a way to work together. And I'm confident of that, at least in our area.
Let's go to our listeners. Maureen in Gloucester, Massachusetts. Maureen, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm calling because I'm actually, this would have been my 12th year walking the Komen 3-day, and I am outraged at many things. First of all is the addition to their board of two clearly Planned Parenthood opposition people. And the other thing is that Nancy Brinker lied to us.
In what way?
Well, first she said that the reason that they were pulling the funds is was because of the
investigation.
Which is kind of bogus anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the second, and then they come back and they say another thing, and now a third thing. I can't support them.
You're done.
I'm done.
Boy, what about the need though for funding still on breast cancer causes and cures and the whole spectrum, Maureen?
I'll walk the Avon Walk.
There's another way. Maureen, thanks for your call. Charlton in Enterprise, Alabama. Charlton, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I can see why they would be going back and forth on this issue, because you have to think about the individuals that are, you know, not able to afford this on their own. So that's definitely, you know, where they fund that part of it, but not the abortion part. I can understand why they would do that. However, I can see why they also would be hesitant to be involved in with Planned Parenthood at all, because you have you have a fetus that all the DNA is in place. The only thing it lacks is growth and life experience. And so, you know, it is alive. How is it not alive? Because any child lacks that. And, you know, it's wrong to kill a child, but it's okay to kill a fetus. You know, how does that work? So I can understand why they would be having a difficult time making up their minds which direction to go.
So you're understanding kind of both sides of this, and that's where the country sits right now in some ways. I mean, here you've got Komen in the middle of it and Planned Parenthood, people with sentiments and thoughts that go both ways. You know, how do we come down to a conclusion on this? Sarah Cliff, you know, I'm wondering about, you know, Komen here and where this thing is likely to go now. There have been some resignations there. They've got their board must be have been under such strain in the last few days. Do you have a sense of what the internal politics are now? Does this mean a shakeout? Does this mean steady as she goes, whatever that is at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's become very difficult to predict what exactly Komen will do day to day. What I do know is they held a series of conference calls with all of their affiliates on Saturday, and I spoke with a lot of folks who were on those, and they said, you know, the idea is to get back to our mission, talk about, you know, the things we generally talk about, you know, with finding a cure for breast cancer and really focus on that. They have brought on a number of folks here in Washington to help out with crisis communications and, you know, help work them through what they admit is going to be a challenging time. And, you know, I think that's what they're focused on right now. You know, whether or not we see some resignations, you know, people leaving the organization, changes at the ground level with their 120 affiliates, that's what I'm going to be looking for in, you know, the coming week.
Mona, how do you think this drama may change the shape of women's health, the philanthropy, and support, at least in this country?
I am not sure what the long-term impact will be, but I do think that it's been helpful to have this discussion about Planned Parenthood, because, you know, and if you don't mind, I just want to respond to something that another one of your guests said, that 3% of Planned Parenthood services involve abortions. I really think that's a misleading statistic, because 1 in 3 of the clients who walks through a Planned Parenthood clinic's door does so for a pregnancy test. And once there, you know, they get a pelvic exam and they get a breast exam and they get a pocket of contraceptives and they get, you know, a whole series of other things, which then each one of those services counts as part of the services that Planned Parenthood is providing.
Okay.
But it's very misleading to say that only 3% of their services involve abortions.
But you're not saying 1 in 3 get abortions either. So
Those who go through the door for 1 in 3 who go through the door are there for a pregnancy test. Of those, a little under 1 in 3 of those gets an abortion.
Leslie, just if I may, Leslie, does that line up with your account, Leslie, what Mona's describing?
I'd have to look at national statistics, but I think that's about right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Mona, your point there being?
Well, my point there is that providing abortions is a big part of what Planned Parenthood does. It's a big part of what people perceive as Planned Parenthood's mission. And so, you know, to say that it's just 3% is misleading. Furthermore, I really think we have to grapple with the fact that abortion continues, despite all of the attempts to suggest that if you're against abortion, you're a bully, or if you're against abortion, you're a religious fanatic, or you're some sort of creep or weirdo. There are a lot of us out here who are genuinely, you know, concerned about women's health, genuinely want to do all we can to improve women's lives, but also believe that an unborn woman, that is, a child in the womb, is deserving of respect and honor and should not be killed.
Let me put that to Leslie in the short time we have, Mona. Leslie Durgan, how do you think Planned Parenthood is going to stand here in the aftermath of this? It has put the spotlight on that part of its services. There are many others, of course. Is Planned Parenthood going to be able, in this political environment, to stand up and say, yes, this is part of what we do, and we defend it? Here's why.
Here's why, because it's legal. The Supreme Court has affirmed that women's access to safe and affordable abortion, I think, is one of the cornerstones of what needs to happen, sadly, in some cases, in women's health. I agree with Mona that there are people on all sides of this issue. I have long since given up the notion that we will ever come to consensus about it. But for people who believe that abortion needs to be safe, legal, and medical, Planned Parenthood meets that need.
Leslie Durgan with Planned Parenthood in Denver, Colorado. Thank you for being with us, Leslie. Mona Charon, thanks so much for joining us today, Mona.
My pleasure.
Sarah Cliff, please stand by. Dr. Susan Love joins us when we return. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Susan G. Komen Planned Parenthood blow-up and reversal, breast cancer, family planning, abortion, and the war over, apparently, women's health. You can join the conversation this hour. Has your understanding of this women's health world changed in the last week? In what way, in what direction will you be as pink as ever, walking like always, finding new paths? And will politics put women's health at risk? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. We'll be joined in just a moment by Dr. Susan Love. A couple calls first. Sharon in Brookfield, Massachusetts. Sharon, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just want to correct one thing Sarah Cliff and some of your other guests have been saying, not once but multiple times, and that's that Komen did not reverse its decision. To use a term you used, Tom, the statement was nothing but parsing. Komen's spokesperson said that they are going to fund the grants that they have presently awarded to Planned Parenthood.
Right.
They would honor them. And then that Planned Parenthood would be considered for future grants. And I believe that's just weasel words. Nothing was said about not eliminating Planned Parenthood from their granting proposals quietly in the background once the furor dies down. And I think it's significant that Komen has hired Bush mouthpiece Ari Fleischer to advise them on how to distract Komen from what Komen's supporters from what they actually did here. The other thing I want to point out is that the bottom line is that Planned Parenthood is the only women's health provider in many areas of the country, and they are perfectly positioned to do the work Komen purports to support. And as far as my support of Komen, I'm a cancer survivor, and my bottom line is that I believe Komen needs to fire Karen Handel, whom a lot of us feel was the principal architect of this initial decision in the first place.
Their public policy chief.
That's right.
So are you judging your future participation or support based on that, XYZ, something else, Sharon?
That's my bottom line, yes, because I believe Komen is betraying its mission by cutting Planned Parenthood out of its granting program because, as I said, Planned Parenthood is the only women's health provider in many areas of the country.
What do you say to women who have walked for Komen, walked with the pink ribbon, are very much want to support anti-breast cancer work, but don't support abortion? What do you say to them in this whole thing, Sharon?
I say that there are plenty of people, there are plenty of organizations that are apolitical, truly apolitical, that have not demonstrated their willingness to look at the politics of a specific area of women's health before they start making grants and then get out front and then back down over that same issue. I mean, Komen can't have it both ways.
Sharon,
and my advice to them is to find another organization, maybe not Planned Parenthood, but maybe one of the other organizations that do support research. And by the way, Komen only gives 17% of its dollars to research. The rest of it goes to marketing and what they call awareness, which in my mind, again, is more weasel words. So if people like Mona Charon want to throw statistics around, maybe that's one they ought to consider.
I appreciate your call. And Sarah, I'll bring that reversal characterization to you. But one more call. Kathleen, Milford, Connecticut. Kathleen, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
The previous caller covered a couple of the things that I found distressing. After the initial mess, like a lot of people, I started hitting the internets and saying, well, let's find out more. And I did find the Bush connections quite disturbing. I found the bullying of other charities who dared to use, quote, their words, you know, for the cure or the color pink, when it's like, it should not be one group gets a monopoly and the others need to just pack it in. No emphasis on prevention, which is generally the better way to address cancer as opposed to simply finding cures. All in all, to be honest, I was never a pink girl growing up. In recent years, I started wearing pink because I lost people to breast cancer.
Yeah.
And now I want to scratch the ribbons off of all these things.
But what about all the awareness that they have raised, Kathleen? You may not like the proportions. You may not like, you know, this or that element. But you know how influential Komen has been at putting this front and center in our culture's mind.
I understand that. And they have had that role. But I can't deny that. It's tainted. I did not realize the depth of political activity of this group. And I would think healthcare, for heaven's sake, is one of the things that should not be politicized.
Kathleen, I appreciate your call. I appreciate it very much. Sarah Cliff, I want to get to Dr. Susan Lovett quickly on the characterization of this as a reversal. That was the headline all over this country on Friday. You know, was the press snookered on that? Was this really a reversal or just kind of a fancy PR way of getting out of the moment's bind?
I think we actually don't know yet, you know, and I actually grappled with that issue when I got a copy of the statement, and the headline that ran on my story was Komen revises funding policy. We do know, you know, they've changed the criteria of who is eligible. It's, you know, now anyone who's under criminal investigation is ineligible. Planned Parenthood can still apply because it's only under congressional investigation. But, you know, as your listener brought up, we have yet to see whether or not Planned Parenthood actually gets grants. And, you know, I think that's the part that's really going to tell us whether this was a true reversal or if it was just a revision of policy.
And we should say that congressional investigation is itself a highly political investigation by all accounts. So it's hard to find anything here that's not rather deeply politicized or tending that way. Sarah Cliff, stand by in Washington. We're joined right now from Santa Monica, California. Very happy to be so by Dr. Susan Love, president of the Dr. Susan Love Research Foundation. It's a nonprofit, promotes and funds breast cancer research. She has been a huge figure in this realm for a long time now. Clinical professor of surgery at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA, author of Dr. Susan Love's breast book and much more. Susan Love, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. Good to be here.
So you saw the drama last week. You were putting out some statements of your own in the midst of it. You saw what the Friday's, I don't know, resolution, or at least for the moment resolution, was. What should we learn about women's health and the political tensions running through it out of all this, Susan Love?
Well, I think in some ways it's not surprising that there's politics in women's health. There's politics in every other part of our lives these days. But I think the message to women really has to be that they have to be more savvy donors. They really need to look a little deeper into where they put their sweat and their money and make sure that the organization that they're supporting supports, you know, their politics and what they think is important. There are a lot of breast cancer organizations, and they're focused on a lot of different things, from potential environmental causes, you know, prevention, services, and everything in between. And there are alternatives to Komen. And I think this might bring some of that to attention to some of those.
Now, reading between the lines here, I mean, you've got a big foundation of your own. I guess in some ways you are, whether it's your mindset or not, you're competing with Komen for those the dollars of men and women who want to support breast cancer work. Does this look, is, I mean...
Well, it's true. It's, we're, and they're in the breast cancer foundation world, they are definitely the elephant in the room that I often get called Susan G. Love, and in fact. And I think it is difficult to then differentiate yourself or at least show why there's a need for different organizations. But Komen has been excellent. They're really great at marketing. They've been great at getting attention and getting the word out. And they're starting to get a lot better at where they invest their research funds. But a lot of us are distressed a bit that they don't put more into finding the cause of breast cancer. You know, in my professional career, we found the cause of cancer of the cervix, and we now have a vaccine without any ribbons or marches or walks. And yet, in breast cancer, we're still doing surgery, radiation, chemo, you know, hormone therapies, and we have no idea what causes breast cancer. So a little shift in the attention and really trying to get rid of it once and for all, I think, would be a good idea.
So are you worried that this uproar will cause a fracture in the effort on women's health around breast cancer? It might lead to a net loss overall because people become disillusioned or confused? Or are you welcoming a diffusion of the dollars and where they go in this?
I'm welcoming it because I think we're much more likely to make progress if it isn't all going to one place and one group of brains thinking about it. I think, you know, looking at all the other organizations that are out there, having women realize that Komen is not the only game in town will be to the advantage of everyone.
Susan Love, if I may, let's bring in a listener from Montgomery, Alabama. Sandra is calling. Hi, Sandra. You're on the air.
Hi. I have been a contributor to the Komen Institution for years.
Yes.
I never realized that it was giving my money or contributing to Planned Parenthood. I would never want my money to go to Planned Parenthood. I do not support it. I do not like Planned Parenthood. And I wouldn't have given to Komen if I'd have known it was going to Planned Parenthood.
Sandra, let me ask you. You know, we've heard in this hour what a tiny proportion of their money goes to Planned Parenthood. They raise a whole lot of money that goes to breast cancer work, and a little teeny bit of it goes to Planned Parenthood. Is that enough to turn you off?
Yes. I do not want any to go to Planned Parenthood.
What about all the good that's done?
I don't want my taxes. I do not want my taxes to go to Planned Parenthood.
What about all the good that's done on the other side of the ledger, a much bigger side of the ledger?
I don't want to give anything to Planned Parenthood or any organization like Planned Parenthood. Even though they do good, it's destroyed by the bad that they do.
Sandra, I appreciate your call. Susan Love, Dr. Susan Love, what do you say to that perspective? That's what
I say there are other places that she can give her money for breast cancer work that are working on other issues. We particularly at the Dr. Susan Love Research Foundation work on finding the cause and on doing research on women and not so much on animals.
But is that a betrayal of a bigger women's health kind of mission here when you know you'll step up and say, okay, give it to somebody else? But I mean, Sandra doesn't like it, but Komen did it for a reason. They were trying to get breast screening to people that Planned Parenthood serves. Can you, in good conscience, I mean, are you agreeing with Sandra, Susan Love? That no,
I think that every donor has a right to give their money in a way that is, that fits with their conscience. And I certainly think that abortion should be remain legal. I was trained as a doctor in the days when it was still illegal, and there were many, many, many deaths. It's not going to go away by making it illegal. But that's my personal opinion. Breast cancer research is a whole other issue. There are many organizations giving access to underserved women, and this woman could give her money to one of the other ones if she doesn't feel comfortable with what Komen is doing. But it's important to investigate where you're putting your money and make sure that it's congruent with your values.
Sarah Cliff, how do you think this sorts out? I mean, do we end up with a net loss in support for this very important work on cancer as the politics shove themselves to the forefront here, Sarah, or just a more diverse profile of support on the cancer front?
One interesting thing I've watched is you've actually seen a net gain in people donating to charity in one weird way. You know, you usually don't see a reaction in a kind of culture war issue where people just donate to charity. But that's really what we've seen here. Planned Parenthood has raised $3 million over the past 3 days. That's not for breast cancer research, but, you know, it's for the work they do. The Komen Foundation, I haven't been able to get specific figures from them, but they did say on Thursday that their donations were up above normal. They said up by 100%, although, again, I haven't been able to get specific figures. So, you know, what we've actually seen now is an across-the-board increase in fundraising as people kind of use that as a way to speak about this issue. You know, what that means when we get into Race for the Cure season, if people aren't participating or corporate sponsors don't get involved, that remains to be seen. But in the immediate aftermath, you've actually seen a big increase in people donating on both sides.
So we may have more multifaceted support, but we could also have battle lines that mess it up. Marla in Randolph, Vermont. Marla, thanks for calling.
Thank you. I fully support Planned Parenthood. I'm fully pro-choice. My mother passed away from breast cancer very tragically. I fully support everything that Planned Parenthood has to offer regarding birth control, safe legal abortion, and certainly breast cancer screening.
What do you say to our caller, let's say Sandra in Alabama, who says she wants to fight breast cancer too, but she doesn't want to support Planned Parenthood?
A woman always has a right to choose. I believe in a woman's empowerment and autonomy over her own body. I have to be very aware of my own health because of my own breast cancer risks, and I always want Planned Parenthood to be there for me for my own health and well-being.
Marla, I appreciate
your... It's a very emotional issue for me.
I hear it, and we acknowledge your loss and your mother there, and I'm very sorry for that. Susan Love, where are we headed here? Does this whole thing get sucked into the same deeply polarizing American politics that seem in many ways the opposite of that unified front that we've seen in the marches and walks and support for breast cancer research. Does it have to go down that road, Susan?
I don't think it has to go down that road. And I really think that while this particular event conflated the two issues, they're really very separate issues. That breast cancer and the fight for women's lives in breast cancer is one issue, and the whole issue about a woman's right to choose and abortion is a completely separate issue, and I think they should be separate issues. I think that that we're tying them together unnecessarily, and it's only complicating things.
But there's been a decades now of effort to see women's health holistically, up to, I guess, and in some people's minds, including family planning and abortion even, Susan.
Well, I mean, holistically is taking care of the whole woman, but that's different than raising money for research and trying to find, you know, the cure and the cause of breast cancer and delivering services. I mean, a lot of things are getting mixed together in this. My sister-in-law, in fact, was diagnosed at Planned Parenthood with breast cancer at a time when she had no insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked for her. And it worked for her. And she had nowhere else to go. So she went to Planned Parenthood, had her breast exam, was sent for mammography, and then through a program that was able to get treatment in California. So,
I mean, you can see in that story right there, Susan, why Komen did get involved with Planned Parenthood.
And I personally think it's fine for Komen to give money for breast cancer screening to Planned Parenthood, and it does not necessarily condone everything that Planned Parenthood does. Planned Parenthood does a lot of different things. You can buy one thing in the supermarket doesn't mean that you think everything in the supermarket is worthwhile.
Well, a lot of people are making decisions now about whether they agree with that perspective here or not. Dr. Susan Love, president of the Dr. Susan Love Research Foundation, joining us today from Santa Monica, California. Thank you so much for being with us again today, Susan Love.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sarah Cliff, where do you see this headed? There is such a broad and deeply orchestrated movement against abortion now. If those siege engines all get deployed here, do we end up with less funding for women's health or two different universes of women's health care? Sarah?
I think what will be interesting to watch, what I'll be watching, is the 2012 election, actually, to see how people vote on these issues. There's been a big pressure by Republicans this year to defund Planned Parenthood, and that's kind of, you know, Komen fits into that larger battle. That's also energized supporters. Supporters have given more money. They've gotten out. They've, you know, been signing petitions.
Everybody up on their toes.
The question is whether they vote.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sarah Cliff, we're out of time, but grateful to you with The Washington Post. Sarah Cliff, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.